Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And now, it's time for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now, and MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Well, good morning, Chicago. It is a big NFL Sunday morning in Chicago for the Chicago Bears and the rest of the National Football League, as the playoff picture has changed a little bit. In case you didn't catch it, the Arizona Cardinals upset yesterday by the San Francisco 49ers, as one Patrick Manley, I believe, may have predicted. We'll get to that a little bit later. But what it means, folks, is the Chicago Bears are now in complete control of their own playoff destiny. They win today, they win next Sunday, they're in, no matter what happens with anybody else. That's where you want to be with 2 weeks left in the playoffs. It didn't look that way. I should say 2 weeks left in the regular season. It didn't look that way as recently as a few weeks ago on a long losing streak, but suddenly things are in a much better position for your Chicago Bears. We've got your Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com right here at 670 The Score. For the next 3 hours, we are going to break it all down for you, and I am joined by my co-hosts Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And Olin, it's got to be a whole different attitude, I would think, at the hotel this morning, in that locker room this morning, getting ready for this ball game. It's one thing to know you got to win. It's another thing to know that you are guaranteed the rewards if you do.
Yeah, and these guys were pretty much left for dead right after a six-game losing streak. But you kept looking at their schedule and the teams that they had to compete with for that seventh spot. And I think Pat mentioned last week that seventh spot is going to bring a lot more teams into play, guys that would have been out of the playoffs before. And you kept kind of looking at the Bears' schedule and thinking they kind of got a chance here because their schedule got easier and we knew who they had to play, and the Vikings had all those injuries, and now they got the Jaguars, and you knew the Cardinals would have the Rams and the 49ers left. And what a job by Shanahan and Saleh down there in the desert to beat them. They looked really, really good. But the Bears are excited this morning. They're finally in control of their own destiny, and they just have to win these last two. And look, the Cardinals still have a tough game against the Rams, Pat.
Yeah, and what a season, man. Just think about the season. You mentioned some of it. 5-1 start. Everybody was saying the worst 5-1 team in the NFL. Then we have everybody fired after 6 weeks, and now we're talking playoffs, and they have it right in their hand. And it makes me think about after that Arizona game yesterday, when I think it was 2013, we went to Philly. We had the night game. We had to win one of the final two games to get in the playoffs. Obviously, we didn't do it. But we found out right before kickoff, I forgot who lost or who won or whatever, that put the playoffs in our hands, kind of like the Bears are. If we went out, you're in. And just the excitement in that locker room. So I'm sure there was a bunch of excitement, texts going around the team, guys to guys just talking about, you know, all right, let's get this thing done. I just hope it doesn't turn into 2013 and they can win these last two ball games. But today's game looks like a very winnable game. And like you said, Olin, this schedule has been very favorable for the Bears at the end of the year. And let's hope Green Bay wins tonight.
Guys, I got to take you back to one thing yesterday, and then we'll get real heavy focus on the Bears. I'm trying to figure out what's happened in the NFL, and I understand that analytics play a part in it and that guys are going to play the percentages, but you got 9 minutes left in a football game that you are losing by 2 points. You must win to continue to control your own destiny. You are 4th-and-2 at your own 35-yard line, and Cliff Kingsbury is going for it? I mean, I don't care.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I don't care what your offense is. I don't care who the quarterback is. It's the NFL, guys. I mean, there's 9 minutes to play. San Francisco can't move the ball on you. They've scored 14 points all day. You're going to give them the ball at the 35. You saw what happened. I'm not complaining. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But all in it's a different game these days. I see stuff like that. That'd get a coach fired a few years ago, and yet everybody thinks Cliff Kingsbury is the brilliant young genius.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, I was actually watching a game yesterday, and I thought to myself, Pat and Hub, here's a guy who's probably going to make $100 million coaching and accomplish nothing. And he'll be on a pregame show telling us how smart he is when he's done with that, making a couple more million a year. But I don't know, the analytics, Hub, like you talked about, these guys get called from upstairs. They say go for it. The analytics say to go for it. And even watching the Raiders game, Gruden's decision not to put the ball in the end zone, I mean, I know it makes sense, but it just felt wrong at the time. So you're watching these games now, and the games have just totally changed. And going for it on your own, like you talked, Hub, at that moment, when with way the game is going, because the analytics doesn't take into account how many injuries the San Francisco offense has and how bad they're playing, and just didn't seem like the right thing to do, and they end up losing the game. But look, they had a lot of problems in that game.
Guys, listen, to me it's relevant to the Bears as well, because it's almost like defense just isn't respected anymore, and I don't understand that. I get that, the going on fourth down, sometimes it does make more sense, and I know what the analytics say, but there's got to be game situations. And, Pat, it's still the NFL, still love it, but they're playing the game differently these days, and I'm not sure that they're playing it all that smart. I think sometimes the better team loses because of the way they're following some of these analytics these days.
I 100% agree, and Olin, you nailed it with the injuries, and you also just have to know your team, right? You have to know, where they are, where they stand, what that would mean to go for it there, but that situation's different. I'm talking maybe other fourth down situations where you do go for it, but yeah, I think I heard Steve Mariucci talk about it this morning on the NFL Network that, that's why they get paid the big dollars to make decisions like that, but you have to weigh in, like you said, injuries, who's on your team, the true situation, where your team stands, and then take the analytics and use that and come up with the best decision. But, I'm really happy Cliff Kingsbury did what he did. I thought it was a brilliant call to help us out.
I'll tell you guys, if I didn't know Robbie better, I'd think he was finally getting his revenge.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't really, knowing him the way we do, I doubt that was what was on his mind. But you're just sitting here thinking, what is the story going to be if the Niners now lose this thing and he left 7 points on the field? So it was certainly an interesting game to watch, but it all comes back to the Bears. And the reason, guys, that I kind of focused on that play and the impact that it's having, or that kind of decision-making is having on defense in the NFL, is because even though the Bears' offense is much improved, and I'm not even, I don't want to get caught looking ahead, because that's the worst thing you can do. But if the Bears are going to make the playoffs, it's still going to be because of the defense. The offense can be improved. The offense can keep them in games. I don't know what's going to happen today. I'd be disappointed if this one was all that difficult for them. But they still got to get through next week, too. And the defense still needs to get back to where it was up until about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And while the offense is much improved, Olin, I'm not sure that the defense is all the way back to the way it was playing up until that bye in that Packer game.
Definitely. You worry about the defense because, look, since the bye week, like you mentioned, Hub, they've had 4 games, and the defense has not played well in 3 of them, and 3 of them were their division opponents, which they average 34 points a game. And the thing that really worries you when you watch them is they're getting beat in both the run and the pass. The Packers scored 41 points. I think they rushed for somewhere around 180, 190 yards, and the Vikings went and did the same thing with the same scheme. So now you start to worry about, are they struggling against this outside zone scheme that, look, the Bears are running a lot of now too. So everybody's running it. Everybody's struggling against it. But the game that I keep looking at that kind of worries me is that the Lions, who can only throw the ball with Stafford and Marvin Jones that day, throw for 400 yards, four touchdowns, and put up 34 points. So the defense isn't playing well. A little surprised of the victory laps. Like, you read stuff like Bilal Nichols is playing well, and I start to wonder, how is he playing well when you're giving up all those yards rushing and you're a defensive tackle? So this defense got to get going again, Pat, and I think they know it. It's not just the injuries. The guys are not in their gaps. They're not dominating blocks. They're not running blitzes correctly. They're getting confusion in the secondary where they're not covering guys. They got to get back on their details, and they got to get playing well again, because like Hub just mentioned, if they want to make a run in the playoffs, this defense has to start playing a lot better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But one thing they are doing better is getting to the quarterback and getting more pressure. So that's one thing they fixed a little bit. You know, it's against lesser talent on the other side of the offensive line, but got to give him credit. Finally, Robert Quinn got a sack, but they are playing better there. But you're right. The defensive backfield worries me with all the injuries they have, the miscommunications, and the run game. That to me, that, you know, you look at that first Vikings game and the Titans game, when they wanted to turn it on, they did. They dominated up until Akeem Hicks hurt his hamstring, but they did a nice job against two good run teams the first time they played them. But that to me is the biggest thing they have to solve. But you know, looking forward to today's game, I just watching that tape and reading some of these names and seeing how far down the depth chart they are and undrafted players, it looks like a good game for the Bears to maybe right themselves a little bit, especially with our favorite quarterback back there for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
another interesting story, isn't it? You know, guys, I was kind of sure it was going to be Gardner Minshew after the way things had gone for the Jags the last couple of weeks. But you've got Doug Marrone, who is certainly a coach, coaching his second to last, if not last, game for the Jacksonville Jaguars, deciding to go with Mike Glennon. And, you know, Olin, I don't get a sense, though, that there's any gamesmanship here, that there's any let Glennon have a shot at the Bears. At this point, it's such a weird situation because the Jaguars can't want to win. Nothing good is going to come from winning this game for the Jaguars, and yet you want to believe that you know, Marrone, even though he's going to get fired, is playing Glennon because he thinks it gives him the best chance to compete.
Yeah, I mean, when you go over the Jaguars stories, you start to realize it's not so bad being a host on the Chicago Bears pregame show, because right. I don't really know what they're doing down there, and I'd be interested to talk to whoever we have calling in today to ask them questions. Because look, from the outside looking in, of course, you start thinking about Trevor Lawrence and winning this game wouldn't be good for them. But look, winning the game wasn't good for the Jets. They went out and won. You wouldn't think the Bengals would beat the Steelers. They went out and beat the Steelers. So, NFL players are always going to play. Interestingly enough, when you really look at the film, even though Pat talked about their way down their depth charts, defensively, just the front looks better than the Bears have seen in the last couple of weeks, because like the Vikings, as you could see against the New Orleans Saints, they had nobody left. And, you know, when I saw that Hardy Nickerson, Eric Kendricks was out, I went and bet big on the Saints, because I figured they were not going to stop that run game just like they did against the Bears. So it's just interesting. You got Miles Jack today. They got a few good defensive tackles. You want to keep seeing this offense improve and look good against, even though they're lesser opponents, keep looking the same way and not take a step back. And I know everybody keeps talking about the defensive injuries, but they didn't have injuries against Green Bay, and they didn't stop Green Bay at all. And they didn't have injuries against the Lions, and they didn't stop them at all either. So they really need to get going again. I know we talked about they're getting to the quarterback. Look, we're only seeing Quinn on first downs, and everybody's saying he's playing a lot better. He's a third down pass rusher making $70 million a year. These guys got to step up and improve.
Agreed. I got a theory I want to run by you about having a quarterback competition in week 16. This is a way you can lose. So you throw that out there, and then you allow the ownership to pick the worst quarterback that he thinks can help them lose for the game. That's the way Doug Marrone can get another loss to get to Trevor Lawrence. Thoughts? But
Doug Marrone is not getting to Trevor Lawrence, as Hub said.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's giving it to the ownership to say, hey, you picked the worst quarterback. You want out there to lose today.
I like I said, if I had to break down Jacksonville, I would have to put way more time in on Christmas week.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
You know, guys, I think the scary thing about this is, yes, they're a 1-13 football team, and no, they're not very good, and no, they didn't show up at all for the Ravens last week. But they're an NFL team, and you guys know this better than most. You know, I mean, NFL players are all good. Some are better than others, obviously. But you don't go out there and not play to win. You know, you go out there to win your one-on-one battle. Strange things have happened. We saw, you know, what the Bengals did to the Steelers. We saw what the Jets did to the Rams. And we know how much is at stake here. And how do you... You know, Pat, I mean, how do you guard against not letting up a little bit? How do you know? How do you make sure that you're out there, you know, taking care of business and doing what you have to do?
I think what happened last week of those two games you talked about helps this Bears team just to show them. I mean, it's recent. You know, they read about it. They saw, they watch ESPN or whatever the highlights are on whatever sports channels they're watching. So they know. And then once you get into the tape, you start breaking down the players and know who you're going against. And you realize, you know, they are NFL players. They aren't truly subpar. I mean, some of these guys, the names you don't know, but like you said, Olin, the D-line looks a little bit better, but to me, they're not, you know, the best in the league or anything close like that. So the O-line knows they still have to repair. They still have Miles Jack over there, who's a darn good linebacker, and Schubert, who's a tackling machine. So there's guys on these rosters where you have to make sure you take care of them, and I think that's the thing, is once you dive into the playbook and look at their games, yes, the last 2 weeks they've been blown out, but the weeks before, they were pretty close games. They've taken teams to overtime. They've only lost by two, three. So they're competitive. So you just have to be ready for that, and I think you just have to be a complete pro and understand that it is one game at a time and go that way.
Yeah, and look, you, as a coach, you know, as a former player, Pat, I know you're looking at them too and trying to find something that scared you, because that's what you would do, right?
Right.
And you look at teams that they played before and say, okay, they have – the last 4 weeks played Cleveland, the Vikings, the Titans, and the Ravens. So those are, I think, the top five, four or five teams running the ball in the NFL. So they have seen really good rushing teams, which it could be a reason why their run defense is ranked so low and their defense is low. Their offense obviously is struggling, which makes you wonder with all those with Jay Gruden and all the guys they hired for the offensive staff this year, all the draft picks they have on offense. But you just got to go out there. And a good thing is that, like Hub talked about earlier, the Cardinals get beat by San Fran, and now this game has a little more importance, and the Bears should be really out there flying around, running around, and playing really hard. And like you said, Pat, you mentioned in the room, look, the Bengals just beat the Steelers, and the Jets just got their win against the Rams. And look, people are picking the Rams as their Super Bowl pick going into New York. So anything can happen in this NFL. The Bears are not that good of a team where they just say, we're going to go out there and run over the Jaguars. And I think they know that. They have a lot of guys playing, a lot of young guys playing that won't take this for granted. And you just got to keep them on edge and challenge them all week and really just tell them this has to be your best game. We have to be playing our best football right now.
Real quick, that's another thing. Olin, you said it, keep them on edge, because I remember games like this what you would do in the O-line room, what coaches would do in position rooms is really make you uncomfortable and challenge you and kind of try to scare you, right? Try to scare you into, you better prepare for this guy, because, you know, they'll build him up bigger than they really are. But that's just a coaching tactic that I think works well for players, just to make sure that when they do watch the tape and they realize they're not a great team, but you got to keep them scared a little bit and keep them on edge. And that's a great point, Olin.
That is Patrick Manley, Olin Kreutz alongside. I'm Hub Arkush. You've got the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com right here at 670 The Score. Guys, we're going to break it down for you six ways to Sunday over the next 2.5-plus hours. Hayes Caroline, who covers the Jaguars in Jacksonville, will join us in about 20 minutes. Former Chicago Bears offensive line coach and offensive coordinator Mike Tice will be here in the Where Are They Now segment next hour. We will have Mark Grody on the couch this week, on the field most weeks, and we will have Dan Pompey here in addition to Patrick and Olin and myself. It is all just ahead right here at 670 The Score. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 312-644-6767. We take this very quick break, and we are back in just a moment. You've got the score.
The guys are, you know, we've always, the guys have still, and I told you this before, but they were dancing in practices even during that six-game losing streak. It's just, it feels a little bit different right now. And so they're having fun. They're in a good place. But they got to understand, and it's our job as coaches, is to make sure that nothing has changed, right? For us, zero has changed. And so we got to make sure, yeah, it's okay to get that swag and have that. But on Sunday, you got to make sure you're doing exactly what we've been doing you know, and enjoying it and having fun.
Welcome back to our Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com right here at 670 The Score. I am Hub Arkish along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. And that soundbite, I'm afraid this may annoy Olin a little bit. I hope it doesn't. But I asked Matt Nagy on Friday, first of all, how do you protect against, you know, getting caught napping against an inferior team? He answered the question. Then as a follow-up, I said, okay, but on the other side, having won a couple, have they got that swag back? Because we were talking so much about the swag that they had when they were 5-1. And Matt, to his credit, he said, yeah, they do, but we're tempering it a little bit. But, you know, guys, it's just funny. It was gloom and doom and desperation and fire everybody 2 weeks ago, and now we're talking about a playoff chase. And that's the way the National Football League can work sometimes, but kind of unusual, Olin, after a six-game losing streak.
Yeah, really unusual, and no, I don't ever remember ever being annoyed at you, Hub.
Now we know that ever. Not
true. Now you're lying.
man, perpetually annoyed. And you know, it's funny when you listen there, Pat. It's like people are looking for reasons to keep Matt Nagy around. You hear a coach who's constantly learning on the job. Before you didn't hear. Look, he just would talk about we have our swag, we can do our dance. But now he's talking about, yeah, you can do it, but you better be playing well on Sunday also when you're doing it. So you didn't hear that stuff before. This team, yes, they were 5-1. They lost 6 in a row. A lot of this is still the same, really, when you really take a good look at it, right? They really haven't beat really good football teams yet. There's still the same questions you had when they were 5-1, when they were beating bad football teams. I think Tampa Bay is their only win against a winning team. And then they took New Orleans Saints, of course, to overtime. But you still wonder about this team. I don't know if you can get a lot of answers today, Pat, but I don't know how many questions have actually been answered when you really take a really good look at this football team.
No, 100%. Like we've said this whole show and all year going into these final few games that – it's who they're playing. I think that's really what the story is who they played the last few weeks after that six-game losing streak. And, Hub, you said we can't look ahead, but I feel like now being on this side of the microphone, we're allowed to. So, you know, looking ahead at that Green Bay game, if they do play their starters, that's going to be a huge game for them to really figure out who they are, what they could do in the playoffs. And if they don't play their starters, then that's just better for them to help them get in. But right now, they just haven't played talented teams, but I do like what I see offensively, what they've done to change it up and make Mitch more comfortable, make the offensive line more comfortable. So you got to give Matt Nagy credit for that, for finally going to that. I wish he would have done it earlier. We might be sitting here talking about what seed in the playoffs and not just trying to get in the playoffs, but we are where we're at, and I just hope they go out there today in Jacksonville and do what we talked about. They'll go out there and play like they're ready, play like they should. After you watch that tape of Jacksonville, they should take care of this game, and let's just see what happens in Green Bay. But I'm going to go ahead and look ahead because I'm on this side of the microphone now, Hub.
Yeah, but and you get worried about, Hub and Pat, you get worried about the Bears getting bored at doing what has made them good, right, at running the ball, sticking to it. Last week, Montgomery gets 32 carries. A lot of people have been screaming for that. Of course, us analysts always pat ourselves on the back. We said, hey, we should be doing that, and it worked. Of course, some of that was Cordarrelle Patterson getting nicked up, I think, on a kickoff return. Is that right, Pat? He got nicked up on a kickoff return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now they don't have their running back, and they're forced into doing what things that you think they should be doing, running the ball, booting Mitch out of the pocket. And I just hope today they don't get bored with that kind of offense, playing just to win games. Because if they do, if they put Mitch Trubisky in that pocket again and make him process information, we saw what could happen at the end of that Vikings game. He throws a really bad interception. And if you talk about, well, how could they lose this game? Well, turnovers always come to mind immediately, right? And when a team is bad, if they can get takeaways, they can change the game. So the Bears just have to stick to what they've been doing and not get bored with the process that's got them these last two wins.
You know, Pat, it's funny when you say, look at who they're playing. It's a perfect segue to something else that we've got to talk about this morning, and it's one of the strangest damn things I've ever seen in the NFL.
Get him,
because,
boy.
He's unhappy. He's waiting for brunch. It goes all the way back to opening day when the Detroit Lions were without three of their best players. And it seems like every week the Bears get a team that is missing key weapons. And this week the Jaguars are basically missing their offense. And he's such a great story. James Robinson is from Rockford, Illinois, played at Rockford High School, one of the Rockford High Schools, I apologize, I forget which one, went to Illinois State University, undrafted rookie free agent. He is a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is fourth in the NFL in total yardage, has rushed for over 1,000 yards. He's been one of their top receivers out of the backfield. And reports are that he will be out with a sprained ankle today. He did not practice all week. Marone and him were talking about how he wanted to play, but we're hearing reports last night and this morning now that he will not go. Pat, it leaves the Jacksonville Jaguars without a running back on the roster with more than seven carries this year. So, you know, I mean, again, bad things can happen, but you talk about, you know, getting a break. I mean, you look at who the Bears have to get by today, and it's almost like everything is working in their favor now.
Yeah, and they have other injuries that have happened all throughout the season and knocked some of their talented players out. So, you know, as a player, you look at it, you're like, good for us. Maybe as a fan to watch something to be entertaining, you want something more. You want to see James Robinson. What a great story, too, by the way, Hub, that he, you know, went in there as an undrafted free agent and wins the starting job right away without really a preseason and goes on and do what he's doing this year. That's a really cool story out of Illinois State and Rockford, like you said. But but it is what it is. You know, it's just one of those things when you prepare for the team that week and maybe their starting quarterback's out or whoever their stud's out, you're like, oh, well, good for us. And you just hope the chips keep falling that way for the Bears. And so far, so good. And they have been doing it all year. So if it continues happening this week, it did with the starting running back. And if it happens next week with the Green Bay Packers winning, so be it. It is what it is. You get in the playoffs, see what can happen.
Yeah, eventually we're going to get to a point where they play a good team, right? Mm-hmm. If they keep winning, if they keep catching these breaks. And look, sucks to be you guys down there in Jacksonville, but obviously they have Trevor Lawrence on their mind. And it's funny, Pat, you mentioned sitting on this side of Mike and seeing it from the other side, because when we played, just to even think about losing a game and tanking your season for someone who could take someone's job in your locker room was crazy talk, right? Like, we wouldn't even talk about – like, I'm not trying to lose this game. I'm not trying to lose this job. I don't care who you guys draft next year, because it could be someone for my job. So the Jaguars, who are showing up to play today, and they don't look like they're going to be a very good football team, obviously. But like we talked about, anything is possible in the NFL. Of course, they put Glennon at quarterback, but Glennon against the Cleveland Browns throws for two touchdowns, and that's a close game, I think. Four weeks ago, and they challenged the Browns. So the Bears take nothing for granted. They're not that good of a football team to do things like that yet, and they just got to go out there and get this win and keep improving. You want to watch Mr. Bisc get out of pocket. You want to watch him work the field. You want to watch that offensive line, who have really come together and gelled a bunch of these guys they put in since the bye week. To change that whole offensive line, that unit is really blocking people up front. Obviously, you wonder, again, how much of that is real. I think they know that. They know that they got to keep proving that they are a good football team.
You know, guys, there's a part of me that doesn't want to go here, but our job is to report all the facts and all the news. And the reality is that the Cardinals are going to get beat by the Rams next week. I wasn't sure about what was going to happen yesterday, but I may make my first bet in 30 years on that one. And there's no guarantee. But if that happens...
That's a big call, man.
Well, if it happens, the Bears don't even need to win both these games. They only need to win one of them. And, you know, I don't want to see it go that way. I mean, if they're going to the playoffs, you want to see them win out and maybe go in with some momentum and get a win over the Packers. But, you know, they've really ended up in pretty comfortable shape now. And I don't think comfortable is where we want them to be after watching that six-game losing streak. But at least it gives them plenty of options for these last couple of weeks. You know, Pat, we're going to take a break here quick. But with Robinson out, and now they're going with these two running backs, one of them has seven carries, one of them has four carries. I would think that they're going to jerry-rig the offense. They may be doing things that you're not expecting without Robinson out there to execute it. I mean, there's only so much you can do on a football field, but they have a really weird situation here. in today's NFL, their top four receivers are their top four wide receivers. They don't throw to the tight ends. They don't throw to the running backs all that much. They did throw to Robinson. That's obviously the way they're going to have to attack the Bears today. And Jalen Johnson and Buster Skrine are both going to be out again. The kids played pretty well in the slot and at corner last week. I'm talking about Kendall Vildor and Duke Shelley. They do get Deion Bush back this week, I think, so he could be at the nickel some too. But, you know, if there is somewhere for Jacksonville to attack, it is going to be an area, I'm not going to call it weakness, but of sensitivity for the Bears right now.
Agreed, and I think the key is the defensive line getting pressure on Mike Glennon. Just going back, and I think I watched a bunch of the Minnesota game this year when he played, and when Minnesota did get pressure, not much of it. He's just not comfortable in the pocket, and we saw that here in Chicago. To me, Olin, he looks like he's a great backup. He's a guy who's probably great at X's and O's in the locker room or on the board. Really good at 7-on-7 during practice with no rush, and then you all of a sudden got to put him out there on a game on Sunday when everything's flying a little bit faster, a little more pressure, and you just can't get it done. That's why he is where he's at, where he's been a backup. And if the Bears can get some pressure up front, I think that's going to bode well for the defensive backs. And I think Eddie Jackson might be able to have a bigger game or one of his better games this year and pick some balls off, because he seems like when he gets pressure, he looks like he completely gets out of whack. And I just hope they can get up to him and get him moving around that pocket, and he can throw the ball up for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, you want the Bears' defensive line to dominate, right? We want to see that unit that we've been expecting, that front seven. Roquan Smith, I think, only had 6 tackles last week. If I'm wrong, correct me. So you want to see him show that he's going to be playing good football going into the playoffs. You want this defense to start dominating again, because, look, if they're going to go where they want to go and get into those playoffs, they're either going to see the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, or the Seattle Seahawks. So you have to be playing your best football right now. You know, in that locker room, Pat, you knew what level you had to be playing at to play against the best teams in the NFL and to challenge the best players in the NFL. The Jaguars, even though not a great football team, a decent offensive line, and their right mm-hmm. tackle, Taylor, a really good football player. Cam Robinson, their left tackle, pretty good. Norwell, they signed him from the Jaguars a couple years ago, their left guard, a good football player. He got good money down there. So a pretty good offensive line. Want to see that defense compete against them. I don't know if the Jaguars have enough to actually score points against the Chicago Bears, but this running back hub, like you talked about, one of the scariest things late in the season may be a fresh running back with fresh legs. And you see what I'm doing here? I got my coaching hat on, and I'm scaring the defense.
There you go. Oh, man, now I got to prep a little bit more.
Jeez, Coach, I thought this was an easy win. No, it's not. Get your butt ready and get playing good football, because even if the Packers do take the week off, like we just talked about, you're going to see one of the top three teams in the NFC, and you're going to have to be playing good football at that time. And we've seen a lot of teams, guys, make runs late in the season and really affect the playoffs. So hopefully the Bears can be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Dario Gunbale, Divine Ozigbo, and Nathan Cottrell are the three running backs who are likely to be active for the Jacksonville Jaguars today. If you have not heard any of them, it is with good cause. Between them, they have 11 NFL carries. So we will see what the Jaguars can do on the ground this morning. We've got somebody coming up who can help us know a little bit more about them. Hayes Carline covers the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and he is going to join us in just a moment to give us an update on where this football team is at. We're going to take a very quick break first here on the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. We are back in just a moment on The Score.
Anybody can beat anybody on any Sunday. So my goal for this week again is just to have a great week of practice, improve on offense, defense, and special teams across the board, and make sure we're getting better as a whole team, and then go out there and put it all on the line on Sunday, because at this point we need everyone anyway. So it doesn't matter who we're playing or what the other team's record is. We got to show up, play our game, and play really well and take care of business. So that's the mindset, and everyone's on board with that.
Chicago Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky talking about getting ready for today's Jaguars game. Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, the reason Jaguars quarterback Mike Glennon is no longer a Chicago Bear. Not sure how well that's worked out for either one of them so far, but still young players whose futures are in front of them. We're breaking down Bears and Jaguars here at 670 The Score on our Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. And we are going to head down to Jacksonville now and welcome in Hayes Carlion. Hayes covers the Jags for 1010XL in Jacksonville. And Hayes, we really appreciate you taking time out for us this morning. And we're trying to get our arms around what do the Jaguars do here, because it would appear that they have a lot more incentive to lose than they do to win in the Trevor Lawrence Derby. And yet, obviously, you don't approach an NFL game that way. So what is the talk and what is the mood in Jacksonville about all this?
Sure thing. Well, first off, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, the mood around the city throughout the fan base is to lose. Obviously, once the team hits the field, the coaches and players are going to do everything they can to win the game. But there is no doubt that there is going to be very few people in this building today that are cheering for a Jaguars victory. I think the Bears crowd is going to far outnumber the Jaguars anyway. In 2012, they really dominated the crowd, and I think today will be no different. So it's going to be a unique environment, considering this is technically a road game for Chicago, but I think they're going to have plenty of faithful here supporting them. And the Jaguars fans that are here, I'm sure you buy a ticket, you come in, you're pulling for your team to win. But I would say the fan base is 90%. Just go ahead and lose the last two games and let's take Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I got a quick funny story about 2012, real quick, if you don't mind. I think that we won 41-3, and obviously I was the long snapper, so I'm running out there after every touchdown. And after we got up about 21 to whatever it was, the D-line was like, I thought I played for Jacksonville. This is a bunch of bull, because there were so many Bears fans down there cheering for us. Oh, that was entertaining. That was a good game for us. But all right, my question for you is, why in Week 16 is there a Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback competition?
I don't think there really was. I think it was Doug Marrone probably wanting to have some gamesmanship on, you know, keeping Chicago guessing as to who would start, because Minshew and Glennon have such different styles. But anytime the coach says there's a competition in Week 16, you can pretty much count on the guy who started the last game getting benched, and that's what's happened. Gardner Minshew has really fallen out of favor with the Jaguars staff this year. And, you know, and I think Jay Gruden wants a quarterback like Mike Glennon who can make every throw. And obviously he is, he's a journeyman and hasn't had a lot of success in the league. But I think for what Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars, wants to do and wants the offense to look like, I think Mike Glennon does that. He plays on schedule. Gardner Minshew relies way too much on, you know, letting the play break down and then trying to make something happen. And that's frustrated the coaches all year. So I don't think it was a real competition. I think it was probably Doug Marrone just wanting to keep Chicago guessing. And my guess is both guys are terrible. So it probably is going to have no effect on Chicago.
Great analyst.
Hey, tell us how you feel.
Hey, you know, watching their film, tell us a little bit about, like, I watched them on defense, and they do have a few good players. I mean, Daniel Ikwale, their nose guard, stands out sometimes. Kalavon Chaisson, their defensive end, a rookie, I think he is. He pops out on the field. And, of course, Miles Jack and Joe Schobert. So who should the Bears fans be watching today? Who should the Chicago Bears be worried about? They seem to have a few good young players on this team, like right tackle Jaywan Taylor.
Yeah, it's great points. Miles Jack's had an outstanding year. It's his first year at Weakside. They've sort of moved him around in the early years of his career, but he's really found a home at the Wolf spot. And I mean, he's had a Pro Bowl caliber season, but the Jaguars only with one victory. He's not going to get a lot of support for that, so he's not going to the Pro Bowl. But certainly has had that kind of year. Very athletic player. Certainly somebody that if the Jaguar defense is going to give Chicago a lot of problems today, Miles Jack will probably be the number one reason why. Joe Schobert has been solid at middle in his first year after signing as a free agent away from Cleveland. Up front, the Jaguars it's really been a struggle. They don't have Josh Allen, who's their top edge rusher. Your Devon Hamilton, a third-round pick out of Ohio State, was having a great year at defensive tackle. He's been out for a while. The players that you mentioned, they do have some guys that have stepped up. That that have had surprising years. Doug Costin was an undrafted rookie free agent. He's done well. He sort of supplanted Taven Bryan, the first round bust from a few years back. So, but up front, the Jaguars really don't have a lot of things that should concern Chicago. Kalyvon Chaisson is still a little bit better. You know, that's been good to see, but he's still pretty overmatched in the run game. So, you know, his development will be something certainly to watch. I think there's starting to become some excitement about him and where he's going. And then the secondary has been really hurt with attrition. So I would imagine Allen Robinson should be able to win a lot of those jump balls that we're used to seeing him win here with the Jaguars. But again, one of the many mistakes the Jaguars have made over the last few years, letting Allen Robinson get away.
We are visiting with Hayes Carlion, who covers the Jaguars for 1010XL in Jacksonville. And Hayes, help us if you can. I'm a little disappointed. It's good for the Bears, obviously, but James Robinson, a local kid, played in Rockford and went to Illinois State, one of the best stories in the NFL this year. We're really hoping to see him. I'm sure he was hoping to see the team he grew up rooting for. And I know he's been trying to go all week. Word is that he will not. What can you tell us about Dare Ogunbowale, Divine Ozigbo, and Nathan Cottrell, who, as near as I can tell, are going to have to get the job done on the ground for the Jaguars today?
That's correct. And James Robinson has been brilliant. I mean, he has been an amazing story. So consistent. I mean, just really a humble kid. You guys should really be proud of James Robinson and the year he's had. It is unfortunate that he's not going to be able to play today. I think Divine Ozigbo is really the player that the Bears should worry the most about. He had a lot of excitement, even going back to last year, as somebody that they really thought had a chance to do something. And he's been hurt for really the first probably 10 games of this season, and has really started just now get back into the swing of it. He has yet to even have a carry this season, but he has caught 8 passes. And he shows some pretty impressive elusiveness on those receptions. So if there is a guy that I think can fill the void, the substantial void that James Robinson is leaving behind today being inactive, I think it's going to be a Ozigbo more than anyone else.
Hey, this year has been, you know, obviously they won the first game and lost 13 in a row, but there have been some close games in there. They were, you know, close-ish to Green Bay, close to Minnesota. Been blown out the last 2 weeks, but maybe try to paint a picture of how the Jacksonville Jaguars could make this a game and beat the Chicago Bears.
I think it'll have to start with Chicago's offense not executing, and I think it's got to come down to that. The Jaguars just on paper aren't. If both teams play a B-level game, the Bears are going to win. So it's got to start with Chicago not playing their best, and if that happens, you know, then perhaps the Jaguars can turn it into a game. Green Bay totally swept walk through the Jaguar game. I think Minnesota did, particularly in the first half. I would imagine Chicago, with everything that they have at stake here in terms of the tournament, I would anticipate Chicago won't have that they'll be ready to play. You know, on paper, in terms of the matchups, I would just say if the Jaguar defense can frustrate the Bears early on, you know, if Glennon can maybe hit something to DJ Chark, something explosive, DJ Chark's a good receiver for the Jaguars. Maybe the ground game does do a little bit better than what we would expect with James Robinson out. You know, that kind of can the Jaguars hang in a 2017 game and hope to pull it out late? You know, that's the only way I would see it, but I'll be surprised if the Bears don't win this game by at least 17.
Hayes, we really appreciate your time this morning. One more question for you before we let you go. As we try and wrap our arms around, you know, what's going on in the Jaguars' locker room in preparation for this game, is there any chance or any scenario that you see in which Doug Marrone keeps his job?
I don't think so. I think the Jaguars have to completely move on with a new vision of their operation. And I think that's where they're going to go. And it's really not Doug's fault. He's been dealt a bad hand. He's done a nice job keeping this young team together. He should be commended for that. But unfortunately, there's just been too much losing over the last 3 years, I think, for Shad Khan to retain Doug Marrone. And again, I do think it's going to be an attractive spot if they do have the number one pick. I think there's going to be a lot of head coaching candidates excited about the opportunity to have Trevor Lawrence, you know, be their guy. So I would imagine it'll be a total clean sweep. The general manager has already been fired. I would imagine that Doug Marrone will be as well shortly after the new general manager is hired, or perhaps as early as 8 days from now.
Well, and the reason it's interesting, again, is I know everybody goes out on an NFL field to win, but in the case of Doug Marrone, whether it upsets the franchise or the locals or not, he's coaching for his future. A win here and a good performance would look great on his resume. You know, you almost wonder if Shad Khan can sit down with him and say, okay, you may not be back, but I'll give you an extra 50 grand if you lose the game. I know you don't do stuff like that, but, you know, we're just trying to get our arms around, you know, what's going on in these guys' minds right now.
No question. Well, there's no doubt the fans would love nothing more than for Shad Khan to give Doug like a free month on his yacht, the Kismet, if he's willing to lose these last two. But to your point, once all the tanking and stuff like that can happen in the front office with the moves and who you make in active lineup decisions and, you know, guys on injured reserve. But once the game starts, once you've got those 46 guys out there, those guys are all trying to win. The coaches are all trying to win. So, you know, Doug's going to try and get it done, but he understands it. He told a great story earlier this week. He was a big Detroit Lions fan growing up, and he said in 1970, the Lions got the number one pick and took Billy Sims, and I was fired up, and I wanted him to lose down the stretch so that they could get Billy Sims. So he was like, I totally get where the fans are coming from, but we're competitors. We're going to try and win the game.
Hayes, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Hayes Carlion. He covers the Jaguars for 1010XL on the radio down in Jacksonville. We are going to take a very quick commercial break here on 670 The Score. You've got the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. We can squeeze in a call or two if you'd like at 312-644-6767. Right on the other side, we are back in just a moment with a lot more for you on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.